And we're back.
Hello, everyone. You know who I am, don't y'all? Y'all better know who I am. I'm Tony, and I'm here with my co-host. You know, I'm not going to call... Everybody knows she's my wife, but this morning, I'm just going to call her my co-host.
Oh, why I got relegated to just the co-host?
She got demoted this weekend. Oh, so Lord. Now she's just a co-host this morning.
How'd I get demoted?
What's up, everybody? Welcome to AARealTalkColumbus.com. We are always blessed and happy to be here to bring you guys another podcast on all the great and wonderful things that are happening in America. Right? What's up, baby? Talk to us.
I don't know. He acted like we are a news anchor or something of the sort.
Well, we give a little bit of everything now.
Yeah, we do. I would say that. We got some news
for y'all this morning, for sure. But go ahead.
Lord, have mercy. Welcome, everybody. Welcome back. Thank you for joining us for another show.
A couple of things that I've been wanting to talk about for the last couple of weeks. Let's talk about the COVID-19 vaccines, because there is a lot of misunderstandings about the effects of it, how many vaccines are CDC approved, the dosage count, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. The reason why I want to talk about this, because my mom recently got her first dosage of the COVID-19 vaccine, Pfizer. She's actually taking a Pfizer version. So there are three versions there are four out there, but three that are officially approved by the CDC. Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson. Johnson & Johnson is the most recent. Now, here's the thing. Pfizer and Moderna, you require two dosage. Johnson & Johnson is just one dosage. Mm-hmm. So I just want to let everybody know about that. You know, so there are a lot of questions and stuff about that. Do your research on it. I talked to the nurse that actually did my mom's Pfizer dosage, the first one, and I got, you know, some feedback from her and her opinion on some things. They all pretty much do the same thing. It's just a matter of choice and preference, honestly. If you choose to go with Johnson & Johnson, there is a one-time shot and you're done. The other two have been around longer, so really it's a personal choice. Mm-hmm. Every single one of them do have side effects. I'm just going to keep it real with you guys.
Yeah, well, anything you take.
Anything you take is just going to be a side effect. Nothing really detrimental, but it's going to be based off your body.
Right.
Right now, they're currently only administering dosages to senior citizens.
Yeah, 60. I think the age range now is 60 and up now.
Yeah, at least in Ohio. I believe it's probably like that all over the other states. But so you have that. So those who are extremely young, like myself, we have a while to wait.
You're extremely young. That's funny.
Yeah, so we have a while to wait. We'll probably get ours like in the summer.
I would imagine by the end of the summer, we should be able to get ours.
So what do you think about it? I mean, out of the three, which one would you take when the time comes? Well, first off, are you taking it?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know, because some people say they ain't taking it.
Yeah, I'm taking it.
Which one out of the three would you feel most comfortable with?
Honestly, I don't care. I'll probably want the two dosage versus the one. I don't know why. I just probably would just go with the two dosage one. But if the one was only available, I'll probably just go ahead and take it.
So something is always better than nothing. Because, you know, you have three options out there. So it's really up to the individual, right? Okay. Well,
Which one did Obama take?
Pfizer.
I'm taking Pfizer.
I'll verify it, but I'm almost certain it's Pfizer.
I think all
the new guys, like, you know, the vice president, you know, he was office. He took, I think all of them got, because Pfizer was one of the first ones that was out.
Yeah. Yeah.
One other thing before we get into the show, I do want to hit. We did catch a movie yesterday. It just got released. It's been over 30 years. Coming to America 2. If you have Amazon Prime, you can watch it on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
So what do you think about the movie?
It was okay. It was difficult for me not to compare it to the first one.
Yeah.
It's nowhere near as great as the first one was.
No.
But it did have some really funny moments in it.
Yeah, it did.
The storyline was very weak. I'm not going to lie. It was very weak. In the first probably like 15, 20 minutes, I kept thinking like, oh my gosh, are they serious? This is like super corny. but it did get better. I will watch it. It's one of those movies, like, although it wasn't like the best, it wasn't the worst.
Yeah.
It wasn't the best, but I would still watch it again.
What's your rating?
I'll give it a 7. 7 out of 10.
Okay, so let me tell you about what I think about Coming to America. I thought it was funny, and it is very challenging not to compare it to the first one. I think just natural reaction is to compare it to the first one. To me, the funniest scenes, I don't want to give it away or nothing, but the funniest scenes were when they went back and kind of reiterated the scenes from the first one.
Yeah.
Those few clips there, those to me were the funniest parts. So But overall, is it worth it watching? Yes, it is.
I mean, it's free. Yeah, for.
Yeah, sure. And is it worth buying when the DVD drop? If you have the first one, I would say buy the second one as well, because there's probably going to be a third one. You know, so you don't want to mess your setup.
I hope they don't. Like, I hope it's not like 30 more years, because then everybody going to be dead.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, I was kind of curious about that, you know, and we don't know what goes on behind the scene, the reason why people wait so long for sequels. Maybe he didn't know, or maybe he just said, okay, let's do a sequel. And I don't know. Who knows? But
yeah,
that's a long time to wait.
They got bored during quarantine.
Yeah, that's a long time to wait between sequels. Usually sequels are done like, you'll have three movies done in 10 years.
Yeah.
That's like the average.
And just so you guys know, it's our speculation. Well, it's Tony's speculation, because he feels like whenever there is a sequel, it's always got to be a third one. So he feels like it always has to be a third one. I'm like, it is what it is. You can just have two movies. I want to talk about what's been going on with me.
Do y'all want to hear that?
Yeah, they want to hear. I don't care if they want to hear it. You can fast forward.
Of course they want to hear what's going on with you. Go ahead, baby.
So, that was so fake. But
let me say it better. Go ahead,
no,
baby.
No, don't even try it.
Keep it short and sweet, baby.
No, don't rush me.
I'm not going to rush you. I like the way you sound.
Anyways. Yeah, so good right there. One of the things that I have been struggling with, and y'all probably say, damn, again? But I did have to have a major surgery.
Yes.
2 weeks ago, Friday.
Yes.
And this was, I had to have a hysterectomy, and this was due to fibroid issues that I've been dealing with now for, 10 years. And this is actually, this was my fourth fibroid issue related surgery.
Yes.
And it was just like, it was at that time, so like, I'm tired. I'm tired of always having issues. I'm tired of the pain. I'm tired of, you know, probing and stuff, and I'm not going to continue to go through it. I already knew, like, after the last one, because I had complications with the last one, we're not doing any more surgeries to remove fibroids. We're not doing it. If it gets to that point again, you're just taking everything out.
Yeah.
Because we're not going through it, because it's a constant going back. Well, oh, you have this going on, and we need to remove this. They remove
like three or four of them, and then you got to go back like a couple years later.
And then they're growing back. They're and growing I'm like, back, I'm not doing that again. So I already had it made up in my mind that next time I have a surgery as it relates to fibroids, it wasn't just going to be remove it. We were going to do a hysterectomy. And my doctor, initially, like when we had talked about this a few years ago, you know, cause I'm young, I haven't bore any children myself, you know, she's kind of like, him and the home and about wanting to do the hysterectomy. But this time around, because my symptoms were getting worse, she was on board with it. She laid out all the options, but she was fully on board with providing the hysterectomy for me. And come to find out, it was the best decision because it was a mess inside.
Yeah, and she didn't know. We didn't know how bad it was until they went in.
Yeah.
And then once we saw the pictures, we were like, whoa.
Yeah, and it's interesting seeing the pictures. I like seeing stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Graphic. My uterus was a mess. And to me, I feel like that's probably why, because, you know, we had tried to get pregnant for a few years, and it just was not happening.
Right.
But after seeing what my uterus looked like, I'm like, that's probably why.
Yeah, it
because
makes you wonder.
Like, how can a baby, like, be in that environment? Because it was just, it was a mess inside.
Yeah, yeah.
It is what it is. You know, it was meant to be. I'm definitely at peace with the decision. I have come to terms with that decision for some time now, even before. So I'm just glad that I don't have to deal with it anymore. And now I'm in a recovery stages. And I'm getting better every day. I'm getting stronger every day. And the pain is really from the surgery. I've hit that stride to where the pain is not as bad as it was.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, it's a blessing. You know, it makes me think about what the nurse said. And I got to give a shout out to the hospital. They really took care of my wife. I can appreciate it.
Yeah, they did. They were great. The nurses were all
the nurses
awesome.
Are probably some of the best nurses I've ever seen in my life. The service they provided, the friendliness, the kindness, the empathy, everything that a patient should get, they provided. And then some. But one thing what the nurse said, I can't remember her name, but she was like, that's common in African-American women.
Yeah, it is. And it's
fibroids.
So sad.
So I think, you know, to the women, to the African-American women specifically, if you haven't had a scan or a test, or if you feel like you're having some issues, you probably need to go get checked out.
Yeah.
And then make some decisions, because it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better.
Yeah, it's very
prevalent. You don't need to be going through two and three and four different surgeries just so they can remove a couple of them.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't want to do that. So just make sure you get with a good doctor. You know, if you are diagnosed with an issue like that, get you a good doctor that's going to understand how fibroids really work and how they can reoccur and all that. You just got to get with the right doctor. That's, I can't stress that enough. And get two and three opinions. Just because one doctor say, oh, no, you're young. I really don't want to do that. Whatever. The next doctor may say, hold on. It ain't about the age right now. You're in pain. We need to do this.
Right.
So it's all about you. It ain't about them doctors. They're going to get paid regardless. Yeah. It's all about you and your health. So keep that in mind, ladies.
Yeah.
It's important. You got to take care of yourself.
Absolutely. So I just wanted to share my my journey because I know, I'm sure there's a lot of women who may be dealing with it and maybe struggling with, like, is a hysterectomy the right decision and things of that nature. Ultimately, you have to do what's best for you.
Yeah.
There is a site, too, that I joined a few months ago when I knew that I was definitely
it's
having
like a group, like right, yeah, like a support group, like
right, support right. group for so those for those there. Who are having hysterectomies. Yeah. It's called Hyster Sisters.
Not Hyster Sisters.
Yes,
I like the name. It's
yeah,
catchy.
Hyster Sisters. So
catchy. Yeah.
It has like different. They track your progress you put in when your hysterectomy is scheduled, and they have different like parts of the program for post op, pre op. So where you can jot down your thoughts, concerns, questions, and you have that support group for those who are going through the same issues. You can see you like what maybe some people may be experiencing on the recovery side of things.
Yeah.
But it's great. It just gives you that form of support for those who are in the same situation as you for whatever reason. And there are a lot of women on there who are having hysterectomies because of fibroid issues.
Yeah, so definitely get checked out.
Yeah, stumbled upon that. Yeah. And it's a great site. It has a lot of information, a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like if you're still on the fence, too, about whether or not getting hysterectomies, the best option for you, they have a lot of different articles to educate yourself on what to expect and some different options you may have. So definitely check it out.
Definitely check it out. That's a lot of good information. So you ready to get into the show now?
Let's do it.
Okay, so since we got the hysterectomies out the way and the uteruses and all that good stuff like that and COVID and all that good information. You know what? Speaking of COVID and, you know, it's a lot going on in the world right now. Everybody know that, you know, I don't have to tell you guys what's going on out there. There's so much going on. And what I noticed about the new year is, at least from our experiences, a lot of people are dealing with like health issues. A lot of people happen to have surgeries. They're just not feeling good. Depression, mental illness is big. You know, it's a lot going on with families just being torn apart through the aftermath of COVID and amongst other things, job losses and all that. So, you know, we live in a bad time. Of course, we will recover eventually. But the thing is appreciation. Now, when you're with someone and you don't feel appreciated. So let's just say it's some type of imbalance in a household. You know, you have one person that's like ill or down, so to speak. They're not contribute their part because they can't, you know, through health reasons. And then you have another, the other spouse is just like carrying the load, so to speak. How do you show that person that you are appreciated? Because a lot of times they don't feel appreciated. A lot of times they feel like, okay, I'm going through the motions. I'm, you know, I call it the freight train. You know, I always say the train is always running. We got to slow the train down. You have so much on you, then what you normally have on you, it can be overwhelming. And one sad fact is you may not feel appreciated. So the thing is you have to communicate with your spouse and say, okay, well, this is what it is. I don't feel appreciated. We need to have a conversation and then you need to let her or him know how to appreciate me. Right? So before I give the tips and all that, what do you think about just that right there alone as far as appreciation?
No, I agree. I think showing appreciation is very important. Like when you're in a situation kind of like where we're in, where, you know, I'm down, I can't really do what I usually do around the house and help out. And you you have to take care of everything. And you're and it's a lot. It's a lot to take on. So I definitely agree that showing appreciation is crucial. And even outside of appreciation and, you know, in a situation where one has to pick up the slack for another spouse or mate, just in showing appreciation in general to people, like the people who are in your life, your friends, things, people who do things for you, family, things of that nature. I think showing appreciation is very, very important. And I think you have to learn and realize how to show appreciation to an individual, because it's not a one size fit all type
deal.
So you really have to know the person, And try your best to show appreciation. So that way they don't feel like they're being taken for granted.
Sure.
And it's easy to do unintentionally.
Yeah, it is. And I think a lot of misunderstandings with appreciation as well is that, like you said, people assume that, okay, well, she know I appreciate her. I ain't got to tell her that.
Yeah.
You know, you hear a lot of guys say that. Or you'll say, well, I bought her some flowers. I bought her a gift. I bought her what she wanted. She should feel appreciated. She should mm-hmm. feel appreciated the fact that I just go to work every day and help pay the bills.
Right.
And make sure, you know, you feel safe and the house is taken care of. She should feel appreciated. But I think the misunderstanding is, do you know your spouse?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need to have that communication with her and let her know and say, okay, do you feel appreciated? If not, what can I do mm-hmm. to make you feel appreciated? Because it comes back to communication.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't assume anything. Because every woman is different.
Right.
Although y'all the same, y'all different. And Lord knows, with me being aged I am, I've learned that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you definitely can't put all women in the same bucket. Just can't mm-hmm. do it. You know. But I think like when a man tells a woman, okay, this is what I need from you. I think the first thing she need to do is she don't need to look at it and say, oh, that ain't nothing. Or what? Look at it like it's weird or strange. And it may be something as simple as saying, okay, you know what? To show me that you appreciate me being a husband and doing what I'm doing for you and you're down or whatever the case may be, how about if you just say good morning to me every morning?
Mm-hmm.
Or how about when I come home from work, you give me a hug? It could be as something as simple as that.
Right.
Don't look at that as like, that's it, something that simple. Yeah, if that's what he want, you should right. do it. So I think we have to get out our own way and really acknowledge the fact of if a person is telling you what they need, let's just do it.
Right.
Because that's all they're asking for, if right. nothing else, you know, so.
I agree. It's not based off of how you feel or what you think is important. It's about solely about the other person and how it feels
yeah.
and what makes them happy.
Right.
And like
right.
you said, something as simple as just saying, you know, greeting me every morning, saying good morning or giving me a hug or a kiss before I leave out of work. Something, if it's so simple, for you say, oh, that's it. Well, then, I mean,
just do it.
Yeah. And so it's easy for the miscommunication to come into play and thinking that it's not a big deal or not really taking into consideration the other person's feelings, whom saying that this is what I would like for you to do, this is what I need to show appreciation, and kind of dismissing it. And we just have to be very, very careful about that. At the end of the day, we're humans. We're not going to always get it right. I don't always get it right. You don't always get it right.
Right.
There may be times where we unintentionally may take the other for granted.
Yeah.
But we need to make a conscious effort every single day, especially when the person is doing things that are outside of the normal
yeah.
day, and try and do everything we can to show appreciation. You may have to do that spot check and say, hey, how are you feeling right now? What can I do to help?
And, you know, you hear people say, well, why do you have to tell your spouse or mate, you know, you are appreciated or, you know, thank you extra or whatever? Why do you have to do that? They should know it. Or why do they need that? Because that's part of love.
Everybody
right?
likes validation.
I read, I don't know how many stories about this imbalance with everything going on. That's the reason we're talking about the show. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about kids. Just say, for the most part, the woman probably tends to the kids more.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, right? You know, yeah, you have those fathers that do more. But let's just say, generally speaking, the woman is probably going to take care of the kids
mm-hmm.
more than a man.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if she has the responsibility of the kids, responsibility to make sure the house is being ran, responsibility to the meals, and all he basically do is just go to work, and that's it. That's an imbalance.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time. You only can live like that for so long,
right?
Before she just like, enough is enough. You're gonna have to help me in this area,
right?
Right. So I think you have to communicate with the person. You can't just go on through the motions, basically what I'm saying, and just expect the person to be like, all right, well, they know that. I ain't got to tell them that. They know that.
No, you right? can't. And even if that's the role and that's the dynamic you set up, say she's a stay-at-home mom, right?
Yeah.
That's her role. She takes care of the house. She prepares yeah. the meals. She cooks. She cleans. She takes care of the kids.
Yeah.
And you're the one who's grinding outside of the house.
Yeah.
Getting, you know, the physical money. Don't get it twisted. Now she's grinding inside of the house.
I think it's harder to work from home. I think it's harder to run a house than it is run a full-time job.
I would agree. But you still have to show appreciation for that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that I do for you and vice versa out of love, because we love each other. We know what each other likes.
Mm-hmm.
We do it because we want to do it. We do it because, you know, one of the things I enjoy cooking. I enjoy cooking because, A, you love my food.
Yeah. Amen.
I love to support you in that way. I'll get up and I'll make breakfast. I'll pack your lunch or whatever. or make dinner and things like that. But I do it because I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And I love it when you enjoy the food that I make. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I don't want to be taken for granted. I don't want it to be expected that, oh, she good.
She got it.
She going to make breakfast. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. And then you start throwing demands and stuff like that. And well, damn, be happy I'm doing this. Like, I enjoy doing it. But that doesn't mean that I don't want, babe, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
You really make sure that I have what I need and do X, Y, Z. And I appreciate it because I know it's probably not easy. I know you don't probably feel like doing it every single day and things of that nature. And that's good to hear and to see. Same thing like you being like the person who fixes everything and figures stuff out. Like if something is broken or technology is not my friend for the day, I'm going to you. I'm like, hey, can you do this? Can you fix this? Can you figure it out?
Yeah.
And I know you got it, but just because you got it and you love technology and the stuff, you just like the challenge of it, doesn't mean that I can take you. It doesn't give me a pass to take you for granted and say, what, I appreciate it. Every time I say I need you to do something or I need you to fix it or you see a problem, you get it figured out. I appreciate you being the man that you are and being able to take care of that. And you got to acknowledge that.
You got to acknowledge validation, because there's so many people that are underappreciated, men and women alike, that are in roles and that are taking on more now than ever before. And they need some type of appreciation. They need some type of validation.
Yeah.
And according to, I did a little research because I wanted to know, I wanted to know what it's kind of funny, but I went to this website called hellobeautiful.com.
I like that site.
Yeah. And they gave us 10 ways to make a man, women, I guess, speaking of women, these 10 things women can do to make a man feel validated.
Did you do the same thing to how to make a woman?
No, because I'm not a woman. I'm a man.
Well,
so anyway, because that's your job.
Y'all, he's one sided.
No, that's your job.
He's
one sided. I'm here for the brothers. I'm here for the men because young ladies, you guys need to know what it's going to take to make us feel appreciated.
Make us feel appreciated.
Well, that's your part. Your part is to have your research for us, and then I do for you guys. Now, that's how it works.
When did we set that up? We never set up.
We set up. We had a briefing. Listen, we have this meeting every time before we do a podcast. No, some people just don't listen.
We don't have
and
that.
And they don't do their homework.
Nah.
But anyway, here we go. Ladies, listen up to this. There's some good stuff here for you guys.
Mm.
Always start with food.
Really? I think that's dumb.
That's the first one.
I think that's dumb.
The second one, they say, take him out to events that he love.
Okay.
Okay. The third one, look him in the eye. That's sexual.
I typically like Hello Beautiful, but I'm not feeling this article.
That's
right
sensual
now.
Like that. I like that one. Look him in the eye.
Mm-hmm.
I love that's probably my favorite. Because you know what that leads to, right? Yummy, yum, yum.
What's the next one?
Give back when he does kind things. So when he's kind to you, you need to do nice things back to him. Be kind to him back, right?
Okay.
Number five, I like this one too. And I think every man needs this. Give him space. Men need to have their own time to do what they do. Watch
space.
Sports. Go play sports. Watch sports. Mm-hmm. Whatever your hobby is, that man need his time. You got to have it. It's important, right?
Okay.
Surprise him with thank you notes. That's number six.
Okay.
And number seven, praise him in front of your friends. Now, that one is probably the least that women do, according to HelloBeautiful.com. Praising your mate in front of your friends. That's very important. It's a level of validation that men appreciate. Do we need it? No. But it's appreciated.
So, realistically, looking at that list, do you feel like that list applies to you as it relates to this is stuff that you will feel appreciated? You'll feel appreciation from?
Yes. Absolutely.
Really?
Out of seven of them, I would say five. So, I think they're spot on. And neither one of those are sex.
Right.
I look at sex women, I look at sex as a form of appreciation as well, but sex is not on the list. But out of the seven, five of these, I can relate to. Back to the women, since I had my list, and I know you didn't do your homework for you guys, but
don't
you could
that.
Just, you can give us a few points to the men out there that what they need to do to make their wives or mates feel appreciated. I mean, if you got a couple personal pointers, do it. Say it, now's the time. I mean, we have a nice male audience that listens, whatever. So,
I think. Yeah. For me personally, the things that make me show appreciation is just simply saying sometimes, babe, thank you. I appreciate you. Like recognize like the small stuff that I do that makes a big impact. Because at the end of the day, for a lot of households, the household would not run as smoothly without the women.
I agree.
So
I agree 100%.
And you know that because, you know, I've been the one who's had the most like medical issues in the relationships. You really haven't had like too many issues, like minor stuff.
I haven't had any major surgeries. I never had got admitted to the hospital, nothing like that. Yeah.
So it's really all been on me for being down. And when I'm down and you have to kind of pick up, you know, where I left off, you realize like how much I do. And although like, without being putting yourself in my position, you may think like, oh, it's not really a whole lot going on, but I do a lot. And you realize that when you have to take on that load. So I think just taking the time to appreciate and say, you know what, acknowledging that what they do is important around the house, especially if you work from home or if you are a stay at home mom, that's a hard job. Like you said, I wouldn't want to be like with all the kids and everything like that. And just being in the house, and making sure the house is like maintained.
Hardest job on the planet.
Yeah. You have no separation, like literally. And I think you really have to show appreciation for your mate because they are holding it down. Now, if you have like a stay at home mate that's like kind of lazy with it, you can't even get a cooked meal.
I don't know what to tell you on that one.
Of that nature.
You know what I always say to that? You need some counseling.
I mean, that's a whole nother counseling. That's a whole nother situation.
Lazy spouse syndrome, huh?
But if you have a spouse that's at home and like really holds it down and do their part in that way, you know, recognize that because that's just as hard, if not harder, than you actually going out to a job, to your 9-to-5 job or whatever, 5 days a week or however long you go for it. So just taking that time, giving them a moment and say like, hey, like, let me give you some time for yourself. I have everything for like the next 2 hours, whether you go out somewhere or...
And this is literally guys like taking the children away from her and maybe cooking for the day and
like don't bother
really
mommy.
Taking a load off of her.
Right, don't bother mommy for anything.
Yeah,
like if you need anything at all,
go to your dad.
It's me.
Yeah,
let her go to
dad
her own space.
Everything. Yeah,
if she want to lay in the bed, whatever the case may be, let her do all her own thing. If she wants to run errands, it's because she wants to do it.
Yeah.
But it's not because she has to, like, oh, I have to go to the store. Like, no. Right.
And taking care of kids, I mean, that's exhausting. I mean, that's just one. Imagine if you had like 2 and 3, 4, 5 and 6. You know, really, that's a lot.
Yeah.
So yeah, the man should step up and be like,
so
I got
it.
You go ahead and get your time. Yeah.
Taking that in. And, you know, even like for just like you all, this is one of the things that I think is similar. Just like men need their space. I think women need their spaces too, just to kind of relax. Sometimes I just like to like, kind of like do my own thing. You know, just have a couple of hours. So when we have our days, we have like, I don't know, it kind of just ends up like this, but we have like Sundays, typically like the afternoons and stuff in early evenings, we're off doing our own thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of like our woosah moment.
Sure.
To where you may be watching sports. I may be watching one of my little TV shows or whatever, or reading or whatever case may be, but it gives us that time just to kind of just like do us and kind of like,
And you gotta have that.
You have to have that. It doesn't mean that I love you any less. I don't love being around you. I don't love being in your presence.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, sometimes I need some peace.
Yeah. You have to have that. It's so important. It's on the list. You know, it's so important. You know, one thing I was thinking about, and this is like in closing, I'm gonna give you guys a homework assignment for all those who care. You should care because this is a great topic.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a homework assignment. Me and Dre is going to do this as well. What I want you to do is going to be like a part two continuation to this current topic that we're talking about, appreciation. I want you to listen up, listeners. When this podcast ends, I want you to get you a piece of paper and a pen, and I want you to list everything that your spouse do for you.
Oh, I love it.
And I want you guys to compare lists. It's not to compare to argue, not to compare to say I do more, I do 20 more things. But you don't really know how much you do for each other until you write it down on paper.
Because
in your mind, you can say, well, okay, I get up, I do this, I do that. In your mind, you have a running count of, let's just say, 5 things.
Mm-hmm.
But in actuality, you're doing 20 things throughout that day. So that's a lot.
Right.
5 and 20, that's a big jump. But I want everybody to do that, and I want to compare the notes, because we're going to do it on air as well.
Okay.
On part two of this, compare the notes so we can really see how much we really do for each other, and then that can validate the appreciation even
more. Absolutely.
Right. So I think it'd be great for you guys. You know, we would love for you guys to participate on it. We're going to do it, and we're going to bring it up on part two of the appreciation show.
And I want to add something else to that. Like, after you all do that, and you share with each other what everybody does, I want you to then ask that question to your spouse. Both parties ask it to the other, like, do you feel appreciated?
Mm-hmm.
And what can I do more to show you that I appreciate you.
And no matter what it is, you need to do it. Don't think about it too hard and say, oh, that's it. Or I don't feel like, don't take your mind there.
If he needs those legs,
appreciation is
to be,
taking self out the way and say, I'm going to do it because I want to show appreciation.
If you need to have them legs open 7 days a week, then you might need to take some vitamins and get some Red Bull. And
I don't need to have that conversation right now because that wouldn't be a good conversation for me right now with you.
Ooh, don't make my stomach hurt. I can't laugh really. Oh, geez.
That's always a good way to show appreciation right there.
Spread them. All right.
Word of the day. Word of the day. Let's do it.
All right. So the word of the day. So this one is actually an acronym. VSA. There's so many acronyms out here. I remember reading something and it had a whole bunch of acronyms. It's like, I don't even know what the heck this message is saying.
I think I heard that before.
Have you? So VSA stands for very sound advice. And so that's simple enough. So like if somebody
very sound advice.
Yeah. So if somebody is speaking truth or giving you some good advice.
So kind of like what we're doing now with this podcast.
Yeah. VSA.
We're giving VSA.
This is VSA. Okay.
There we go then. I'm going to use that.
There you go.
All right. Until next time.